Let us pray. Eternal Father, this morning we are grateful for thy mercy, thy grace that thou hast lavished upon us, that thou hast brought us together one more time to worship and to give thy name the glory. Holy Father, I now pray for the declaration of thy word. May thou indeed consecrate it. As it goes forth, Father, may it fall on good soil, that each one who hears may say yes to thy will and yes to thy way. Holy Father, this is my prayer. In the name of my Savior, my Lord Jesus, I've prayed and I give thanks. Amen. If you've ever tried to memorize scripture, you are bound to discover that there are some verses in the Bible that are easier to memorize than others. And perhaps the easiest verse to memorize in the Bible is John 11:35. All of you should know that. And it simply reads, Jesus wept. Now, one thing does stand out about this verse. It is not only the easiest verse to memorize in the Bible, it is also one of the most profound verses in the New Testament, if not in the entire Bible. And the reason is because it begs a profound question. You know, why did Jesus weep when he stood at the tomb of his friend Lazarus? You know, for us, the reason we weep when people die is because of the finality of life. We are powerless to do anything about death. But this was not the case with our Savior, the Lord Jesus. He had all power. Life and death was in his hands. And he could raise his friend Lazarus from the dead, which he eventually did. Yet, the Bible said, he wept. So then, why did he weep when he had power over death? Well, loved ones, the answer this morning is not blown in the wind. I believe the answer can be found in an epistle written a few years after the ascension of the Lord Jesus, and it's the epistle to the Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Here the writer of Hebrews will write, he said, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin." You know, the implication of this verse is obvious. Our Lord Jesus is not stoic. Our Lord Jesus is not distant. Rather, he is a sympathetic Savior, a Savior who weeps with us, a Savior who cares about us. And I believe that was the main reason the Lord Jesus wept. And loved ones, if there is one truth that needs to be chiseled in the mind of all of us as Christians at such a time like this in our world, a time where struggles and challenges abound everywhere we go, a time where the avalanche of temptations are everywhere around us, it is this truth that we not only have a high priest who is seated on the right hand of the majesty in heaven, but we also have a high priest who sympathizes with our struggles. And this morning, if the question is ever asked, does Jesus care? The answer should be a resounding yes. Yes, he cares, because his heart is always touched by grief. And this morning, my quest is to take a road that is less traveled, to unveil to you through the lenses of Scripture what I call the tale of a sympathetic Savior, to be able to unveil what makes our Lord Jesus truly a sympathetic Savior, one that feels and is touched by our pain, by our suffering. And this morning, that's going to be my roadmap. So now, When we begin now to look at the Bible is actually dogmatic about our Lord Jesus. That our Lord Jesus was not a phantom, neither was he a mythological figure. Rather, he was a real historical person who lived in a real historical time and space. And you know what? There is a general consensus in all four Gospels about what our Lord Jesus experienced while he walked this earth. And it is through the lenses of those experiences this morning that I want to present to you the tale of a sympathetic Savior. I want to be able to deduce from his experiences what makes our Lord Jesus truly our sympathetic Savior. And throughout the Gospels, I believe there are four things we can deduce from all gospel, from the four Gospels that actually helps us to understand the Savior as a sympathetic Savior. Let me go forth and show you this morning. You know, the first thing all the Gospel writers attested to about our Lord Jesus was that he experienced physical weakness. You know, though the Lord Jesus was fully God, he was the Theoanthropos while he walked this earth. Yet, he did not use his divine privileges to bypass human limits and human weakness. We read in John's Gospel that the Lord Jesus was coming from Judea and going to Galilee, and he stopped by Samaria and he got to a well. And the Bible read that he was tired. And he sat down by a well till the woman from a Samaritan woman came to him. We also read in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, that the Lord Jesus told his disciples, come, let us go to the other side. And while on the boat, the Bible said the Lord Jesus went to sleep. Again, watch that. He went to sleep at the stern of the boat. He was tired. He was exhausted. Also, we see at the cross that while the Lord Jesus hanged on the cross, he cried out, I'm thirsty. We also see the physical, brutal torture that he went through, the flogging and agonizing death. So, loved ones, what I'm saying here is this. You know, the Lord Jesus could have easily bypassed all those things and just live a life that is glorious on this earth, but yet he subjected himself to physical weakness, physical suffering, just like you and I. That the experience of Jesus is the same experience that we today go through in our weariness, in our tiredness, in our pain, in our suffering. Jesus experienced physical weakness. The second thing all the gospel writers attested to about our Lord Jesus was that he experienced emotional and mental distress. You know, we read that he went to Lazarus' tomb and he wept. But not only that, what about his experience at Gethsemane when he took three of his disciples, Peter, John, and James, and he shared with them, he said, my soul is extremely grieved to the point of death. He said, stay with me, watch with me, pray with me. And the Bible said he went a stone throw from them and he fell on his face and he began to pray to his father. He said, if possible, that this cup pass over me. And the Bible described the sweat of his face like drop of blood. The Lord Jesus was going through the dark night of the soul. His humanity was revealed because we can see the emotional stress. Jesus was about to take the cup of God's wrath that contains the sin of humanity from Adam to the last man that will ever live. Jesus was going to bear it on that cross, and we could see the emotional stress. We can also see that Jesus was abandoned by his close friends. His disciples told him, I will go with you. I will even die with you. But at the point in Gethsemane, when they came for Jesus, everybody left him. He was denied by Peter. He was betrayed for money by Judas. Loved ones, may I remind you this morning, the emotional, mental distress that we experienced, the Lord Jesus has been through it. The Lord Jesus has been betrayed. The Lord Jesus has been abandoned. The Lord Jesus has struggled. And loved ones, you and I can now understand exactly what this means. Jesus experienced the same thing that we experience. You know, the third thing all the gospel writers attested to about our Lord Jesus was that he experienced relational and societal pressure. You know, he was misunderstood by his own family. You remember his family? At times, they thought he was out of his mind. You know, the disciples, not the disciples, his brother and his mother came looking for him. And they said, your brother, your mother's looking for you. He said, who's my mother? Who's my brother? He lifted up his hand and said, those would do the will of my father. They struggled to understand his mission, not until after his resurrection that he appeared to James, that James understood clearly who his brother was, that this was actually Savior, the Messiah, the Theoanthropos. What about the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees? They didn't like him. They hated him without a cause. And even in his own town, Nazareth, he was rejected by his own countrymen. He was born into a low-income family. He lived as an itinerary preacher. He had nowhere to lay his head. The Lord Jesus figuratively experienced homelessness. So, loved ones, you can see that the Lord Jesus experienced the same relational, societal pressure that we experience even as Christians today, the societal pressure we experience that people don't stand you, can't stand you because of who you are in Christ. Jesus experienced that. And the fourth thing today that we can see in terms of all the gospel writers attested to about our Lord Jesus was that he experienced temptation and moral pressure. Again, I want you to watch that. You know, he faced direct psychological and spiritual warfare during his temptation in the wilderness, matching the internal battles that we face every day. You know, when you go to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, there we saw the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus was tempted after fasting 40 days and 40 nights. He was tempted by the tempter. And the Lord Jesus experienced temptation and he excelled. Loved ones, this morning, it is only someone who has walked in your shoe that can truly sympathize with your struggle. And this is our Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus has walked in every one of our shoes. The Lord Jesus has experienced the same thing that we have experienced. And the Lord Jesus can now be our sympathetic Savior. That is why the writer of Hebrews said, we do not have a high priest who does not sympathize with our weakness. He sympathizes with our weakness because he's been in our shoe. The Lord Jesus has been in your shoe. And this morning, with this understanding, I believe that there are certain assurances that can accrue to us as Christians. Because since Jesus is our sympathetic Savior, we cannot look at certain assurances. And this is where I'm going this morning. I want to unveil to you three key assurances that you as a believer can lean on because you have a sympathetic Savior. The first is this. Mercy replaces condemnation. Did you hear what I just said? Mercy replaces condemnation. You know, when you fall into temptation or you give way to weakness, Jesus does not look at you with shock and look at you with disgust and say, why did you do this? But Jesus remembers how heavy the weight of temptation is, because while he lived on this earth, he too was tempted. And Lord Jesus, like the story that we read in the Gospel of John of the woman that was caught in adultery, in the very act of the adultery. And they brought her to Jesus and said, listen, Jesus, this is what Moses said we should do to her. But what do you say? And the Bible said Jesus just looked down and began to write on the ground, and he just didn't pay them no mind, but they insisted. And the Lord Jesus lifted up his head. He said, he who has no sin, let him cast the first stone. And he put down his head again and began to write on the ground. And we're told that each one of them dropped their stone. And the Lord Jesus asked the woman, he said, where are your accusers? Is there anyone who condemned you? And may I remind you, there was one who had no sin, who could cast the stone at that woman, and that was Jesus himself. But rather than cast stones, Jesus looked at the woman. He said, neither do I condemn you. Neither do I condemn you. Mercy triumphed over condemnation. And loved ones, this morning, I truly believe for you and I, even in our own struggles as believers, where at times we stumble and we fall, where at times we face challenges that overwhelm us, Jesus is saying to us, mercy overruns condemnation, that you are no longer condemned. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, he said, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus extend his hand of mercy to you. Jesus wants you to know that I'm not here to cast stones at you, but you go and sin no more. Loved ones, this is the first assurance that we can lean on as believers because we have a sympathetic Savior, the Lord Jesus. The second thing is this. Your pain is never dismissed as irrelevant. Again, watch what I just said to you, your loved ones. You know, your pain is never dismissed as irrelevant. It's never dismissed as insignificant. You know, loved ones, when we go through a grief and physical pain and mental anxiety, at times it feels as if God has abandoned us. At times it feels that God just does not care. You know, 8 billion people presumably on this earth, and here you are in your very little house or your apartment feeling this weight and this anxiety, this depression, and you feel, you know, God is too busy for me. My pain is, in the grand scale of everything, my pain is irrelevant to God. But may I remind you this morning, since we have a sympathetic Savior, that means your pain is validated at the highest level of the universe. Why? Because the Lord Jesus himself experienced pain. He experienced grief. That is why he was described as a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. And on the road to Damascus, when a man called Saul was going to persecute Christians, the Bible said a light shone from heaven. And out of that light came the voice, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Watch that. Jesus did not say you're persecuting my disciples. He said, why are you persecuting me? Because Jesus identifies with his own. Jesus identifies with the suffering. Jesus identifies with our pain. Jesus identifies with our persecution. And this morning, if you're a persecuted believer, Jesus identifies with you. Jesus feels your pain. Your pain is not irrelevant. God has not forsaken you. God has not abandoned you. God has inscribed you in the palm of his hand. God cares for you more than you can ever care for yourself. And whatever pain you're going through, Bible tells us casting all our cares upon him. We got to learn to say, Lord Jesus, I know you are my sympathetic Savior. I cast into thy hands my fears. Cast into the hands my struggle, because you know me, because you went through this. And loved ones, this morning, that is an assurance that each one of us can actually rest upon. But the final assurance is this, loved ones. Because now we have a sympathetic Savior, we can now boldly approach God without fear. Again, now watch what I want you to say. You can now boldly approach God without fear. Now let's go back to Hebrews chapter 4. Watch that, Hebrews chapter, begin at verse 15. And it says like this, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin." Therefore, conclusion, he said, let us draw near. What does this mean? A high priest has entered the holies of holies in heaven. He has sprinkled his blood on the perfect tabernacle. He has sprinkled his own blood as an atonement for sin. He has opened the life gates that we no longer have to be afraid to come before God in our times of struggles. We no longer have to go through a priest to go through the blood of goats and bulls to come before God. We can now boldly come before the Lord. We can now boldly, because our sympathetic Savior has done that work for each one of us, that we can now come boldly before God's throne. And guess what? His throne of grace. And sitting on the right hand of that throne of grace is no other person but our sympathetic Savior, our advocate, who is making intercession for us every single moment of the day. Loved ones, do you get that? Jesus is making intercession for you on the right hand of the Father. That is why we can come before Him. He understands us. He knows us, so that we may receive mercy. Mercy. Because ultimately it doesn't depend on evil wills or evil wrongs, but on God who shows mercy. Romans chapter 9 verse 16, on God who shows mercy, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Loved ones, because we have a sympathetic Savior who has risen to the heavens of heavens, who is now seated on the right hand of power, who is seeking and making intercession for us, who has chiseled you in his hands, who you belong to. You and I are seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. Because of that, you don't have to carry your load. Because of that, you don't have to carry your struggles. You can now go boldly. Pray. Do you realize that as a Christian, every time you go before God in prayer, you are translated spiritually to the throne room of glory? You are translated to the presence of the holy God of heaven, and you are making intercession before God as his priest. So, loved ones, this morning, does Jesus care? Yes, he does care. He cares about your struggles. He cares about your failures. He cares about your grief. He cares about your anxiety. He cares about everything that you're going through this morning. And he wants you to know that, listen, mercy will replace condemnation. He wants you to know that your pain and your suffering is not insignificant before him. He wants you to know that all you need to do is come as you are in prayer, because I'm going to make intercession on your behalf. And what a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. And this morning, I'm so glad that I can come before him with courage, with boldness in all that I go through, because I know at the throne room of God, there is power. And there is grace and mercy for me to go through in the time of need. May God give each one of us the grace to walk in obedience to Christ, our sympathetic Savior. Let us pray. Eternal King of Glory, we give thanks this morning for what our eyes have seen and what our ears have heard. Holy Father, may thou now consecrate this word that has been declared, that each one this morning can know without a doubt that thou art still on the throne, watching, keeping, sustaining each one of us. Holy Father, this is my prayer. In Jesus' holy name, I pray and I give thanks. Amen.